high time now for our tune of the week.
Come on, let's go.
This is the Media Industry Guru Show, the show that exposes you to entertainment, music, film, TV, and tech.
We're online 24/7.
You're listening to the hottest internet station.
Hey, Rachel, welcome to the Media Industry Guru Podcast. Very excited to have you on and looking forward to hearing all about you and your adventures and your upcoming gig at the Brooklyn Bowl May 9th. You got a lot in the works.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
To get started, yeah, I want to kind of delve a little bit deeper into your background. I know you were born in Connecticut. Now you're in Brooklyn and you're a singer-songwriter and you've crafted this eloquent, rich acoustic sound. But I want to get in the weeds of what made you pursue a career as a singer-songwriter.
Yeah, I think music was always a really important part of my life growing up. I remember in the day and age of CDs in the car, which is sad that that's not a part of our day and age anymore, but I used to ride around in the car a lot with my mom. She was a really big Citizen Cope, David Gray, like John Mayer when his first record came out. Mm-hmm. And my dad was a really big jam band, so he was always like Grateful Dead, Fish, that kind of realm. And so I think I was exposed to a lot of different music growing up. And I think that always felt like a form of expression and comfort. I was originally more so into musical theater because I felt like at the high school that I grew up at and attended, that was kind of the extent of like the musical expression at the school. It was mainly musical theater. So I started off doing that. And I wasn't very good, to be honest. So, but I found a lot of joy from it.
Okay.
And, you know, I think those were all kind of clues as to like, you know, I love doing this. I love this kind of like expression of art. And I think as I got older, I just started exploring new musicians, like finding new music that spoke to me. And then I think it wasn't really until Texas that I kind of honed in on that craft and decided it was going to be more than just sort of a hobby.
And then how did you, I know you discussed you worked on the business side and you simultaneously worked as an artist. What was that kind of balance like? And then you went all in full time as a singer-songwriter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think, you know, at the time when I was growing up and figuring out sort of what I wanted to do, I never went to music school. So I actually went to school first, psychology and business. And I sort of grew up like in a household that felt like, you know, there was a huge emphasis on like making sure that I went to school and got a degree. You know, I had kind of always had music as this passion, but I don't think I was ready to fully commit to it when I had gone to college. And there's kind of this interesting topic in this book called The Artist's Way. I'm sure you've read it a million times. I'm sure every artist has. But the author talks about how a lot of people end up pursuing a career that's like directly parallel or tangential to like the one that they want to pursue. And so I think for a while I was like, music business seems like this perfect marriage of something that I love, like the creative and, you know, the stability of the business. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when I was in school, I was pursuing music and on the side kind of doing like music business stuff. And I think I was like so desperately looking for some sort of like security in doing what I loved. But I think for everybody, pursuing something that you love is kind of a scary thing. And unfortunately, there's not always that security. And so I think, you know, once I graduated and started this job at TuneCore and I met like a lot of amazing people and I learned more about the business, it was really valuable to me just about like learning music business environment and what I needed to do as an artist, you know, to protect myself and how to distribute and all that, you know, you know, those details. But I think I had come to a point where I realized like this was just not what I wanted to do and this wasn't going to make me happy. And, you know, you can't really have a plan B, I think, when something like music or any sort of like creative pursuit is your passion. I think when you have a plan B, you're always going to rely on your plan B. And so I sort of ripped the rug out from myself and decided to not give myself that option and just sort of like dove headfirst into that. It was like a sink or swim scenario, but I was like, I'm going to learn the most if I sink. So that was kind of my experience with music, but I definitely don't regret any of it. I don't regret being involved in the music business. I think it taught me a very valuable lesson about like what I really wanted to do.
I think like when people dive in deep, like you mentioned, taking those risks and drive an initiative, it equals, I've always associated with risk equals reward. Everybody associates risk as like a negative, but I look at it as a pro. And I think that's how you took it because you've accomplished so much in just like a short span of a few years, doing a 3-month residency at the Bitter End, doing South by Southwest showcase in 2024, open for a lot of emerging and upcoming rising talent. You've just achieved so much in just a span of like a short year. It's pretty incredible.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I mean, I feel like, you know, the more that you put yourself in unexpected situations, the higher the likelihood of you getting lucky, I think. You know, I think a lot of the music industry, of course, is, or any like industry for that matter, you know, a lot of it is obviously talent, but I think a huge part of it is being at the right place at the right time. And I think the more that you put yourself in situations that are kind of unexpected and scary, it's, you know, this kind of, this magic happens where, you know, things that are out of the ordinary, like the likelihood of that happening is so much greater. So I think I've really experienced that the more uncomfortable you are, the better, even though that is like going against probably your human nature of trying to feel satisfied and trying to feel the structure and the security. But, you know, I think, yeah, life is too short to be predictable. So
sure, I agree. No, life is too short. And in that even short time, you've accomplished so much. But in terms of getting to those steps, I know you wore a music business hat. Did that kind of help you in terms of just taking any of those lessons learned along the way to accomplish those accolades? Because a lot of artists don't know the business side, don't know even the basics, like what a PRO is, what a distributor like TuneCore is.
I think it definitely helped me initially setting things up. Like, yes, I knew about PROs, I knew, you know, about publishing companies. You know, I think we're all as young artists getting wiser to the label system and how exploitative those deals can be. Yes, I do think it helped me initially, but I really will die on my hill about this. I think that the only way that you can ever learn is by doing. And I think I just put myself in as many situations to learn and to just talk with people who've been there. Like, I think the best thing is just, you know, finding somebody in the industry that you admire, that you want to emulate their career path, and just even asking them, like, how did you do this? How did you do that? And I felt like I was asking a lot of questions and talking with a lot of people in the beginning, particularly. Just about how they went about things and what they thought about this specific deal, what they think about this venue. And I think the artist community in New York is really supportive, which I feel grateful. And yeah, the best form of networking is like, and I was just talking about this recently, it's like not going to be at like a South by Southwest conference. It's not going to be, you know, at like some like PRO brunch. It's going to be like going to shows, like going to local shows, like talking with people, talking with people who are experiencing the things that you're experiencing every day. So I guess to answer your question, yes, initially, I think it guided me in the right direction, but I've learned more about the music industry by being an artist and making mistakes and going out and like having bad deals, and like performing really terrible shows. And I think it's all a part of your journey as a creative as well, to have these experiences. And it's, you know, funny to talk about once it's over.
Yeah, it's but, interesting yeah. to reflect on stuff when there's hiccups and highs and lows, especially with an artist, because when you're performing live, it's not 100% perfect. It can be 99.99, but never 100%. And with that, you've performed at like numerous different venues within New York area, Brooklyn area, any venue that really resonated with you. I know you're obviously performing at Brooklyn Bowl, but any others that have resonated with you on your journey?
I mean, I have a vision board in my room. So like I've written all these venues that I have dreamed of performing like throughout my career. I feel like Rockwood, when stage two and three were around, unfortunately, they're not anymore. But I mean, Matt Curry, like he was somebody that really believed in me, like from the beginning. And he gave me like some of my first gigs in the city that felt like really meaningful. Rockwood will always like have a special place in my heart. I love that venue. And then probably Baby's All Right really felt like when I got to play there in 2022, I was like, this was just like my dream venue for such a long time. And to be able to play there, I think that felt like a real tangible win, you know, where I was like, wow, like I feel good enough to play here. Like this means something. Yeah, I mean, Brooklyn Bowl has been on my vision board for like 3 years, yeah. 4 years now. I mean, Music Hall of Williamsburg, that's also on my vision board. So
some really great ones on the list.
Yeah, you gotta shoot big, you know?
That's cool that you have that vision board.
I feel like it's been very rewarding, like kind of slowly moving some of the note cards up to like the completed section. Yeah. So that's been rewarding too. Yeah.
Yeah, no, a lot of industry people, whether you're on the business side or artist side, like they have bucket lists, but they don't like write it down and like accomplish it. It might be in the back burner. Like somebody might create like a, there's always that like old saying with New Year's resolutions, like people will want to do them, but then they, after the month of January, kind of subsides and then it never happens. But with you, it's the flip side. Like you write them down, you have them on a dashboard, and then you check them off in a list when you've accomplished them. That's pretty amazing.
Yes, it's very, I'm like a big self-help girly. I just like, I love reading those type of books, and like James Clear, like his Atomic Habits book really changed my perspective, because he specifically talks about it's slow progress daily, you know? And so I think as a, you know, as a creative, and I'm sure like with the artists that you've worked with and like the experience that you have in the industry, it's so easy to get down on yourself and play this comparison game when there's just so many people out there. Hard sometimes to keep in perspective how much you've accomplished. And when you're practicing, like, you know, guitar, for example, 10 minutes every day, it's really hard to gauge your progress. But practicing guitar 10 minutes every day for a year is amazing versus like practicing, you know, 4 hours once every like 4 weeks, you know, it's like, you're not going to see that progress. And so I think the vision board kind of helps that, like, if I could just do one little thing consistently every day, that's going to bring me to my next.
Yeah. It's like a routine. Like music is also a muscle, I guess.
Yeah. And I think like, we as creatives like should honor, there's so much to learn. Like I don't think we ever really like become masters ever, you know? So it's like, if our purpose here, you know, if there is really a purpose in life, this is getting way too existential, you know, but like, you know, if I'm pursuing music as my career, like I think it's my job to be the best that I can at what I'm pursuing, you know? So I think I try to remind myself, it's obviously hard, but if I could do like a little thing every day that's gonna help in some way, then.
Yeah, for sure. I agree 110%. And I want to discuss a few more different topics, but one of them being is like your latest EP that you released last year. Tell us about that process, what that was like, and are you showcasing? I'm assuming you're going to showcase some of them on May 9th.
Yeah, definitely. I've written these songs over the course of a couple of years since I released my first project, like way back in 2020. I think the projects feel so starkly different because I've been trying to learn myself as an artist and figure out what type of artist I want to be. And I think, you know, definitely like during COVID, I was just listening to a lot of music, and I also really got into performing and playing the guitar and kind of having that relationship on stage and being able to perform, like, not only just myself, but with like a full band with an instrument. And so I think my songwriting style has morphed kind of more into this like folky Americana adult contemporary genre. And I think that also too really resonates with like what I first started listening to with my parents, like, you know, like with Carly Simon and Joni Mitchell and like Lauren Nyro and like I love Brandi Carlile. And so I think I found, you know, this new sort of place that I wanted to be as an artist. And I started writing from that perspective. And you know, I also too had never really had an experience. Like my first record, I was kind of recording like in my producer's, in his like home studio, which was amazing. And like, I loved working with him, but I had always kind of had an intrigue about performing like with a live band and recording with a live band and having that energetic experience, like capturing the live experience. That was always an intrigue for me. And so I ended up collaborating with my great friend, Charles Myers, who's a Nashville guy. He just has this like amazing emphasis on like live instrumentation. And anyway, so we ended up recording the songs like very early 2023 at Figure Eight. And it was, I mean, it was like 2 days. We pretty much recorded like five songs. And
wow,
it was like my favorite experience that I've had, because just being in a room with a bunch of people who are so talented and just like the energy just felt, you know, I don't know, it's really this intangible thing that you can't really describe, but you just sort of somehow know it's there. And I definitely felt that like when I was recording. And so I feel like I'm always chasing that experience. But yeah, I got to record with Paul Johnson and Jason Berger and Charles. And it was just, yeah, it was really an amazing experience. Miles Wilkins was there. Yeah, so we had like a bunch of my friends kind of just popping in. And yeah, it was amazing. So I've just been kind of gigging off of these songs, but I'm working on a new record now. And, you know, those songs will hold a special place in my heart. And I think I'm just kind of trying to continue to figure out who I am as an artist as well.
That's great that you showcase like this recent collection of work and kind of how it kind of progressed from you working with other people, writers, friends, people from Nashville, kind of across states. And I know you mentioned that you're releasing possibly like a new album that's kind of in the works, but do you have any other personal or professional goals up on that wall maybe, or besides venues?
Oh yeah. Oh my gosh. I do. Yeah. I mean, a big part is venues. A big part also like is collaboration. Like I want to continue to collaborate with more and more people. I think for a while in my musical journey, I was kind of like, if I'm not doing this myself, not of the highest caliber, it's like it's cheating or something like that. And I think I've gotten over that very quickly, as we all realize, like, you know, some of the top songs today are written by like five different people. And
oh, sure.
Collaboration, you know, two heads are greater than one, you know. So I think continuing to collaborate, that's definitely on my vision board. You know, I think like being an unsigned artist, I think I would love to have a team behind me that, you know, believes in my vision as much as I do, and also contributes a lot of amazing ideas to these projects. And that's also definitely a goal. I think like, you know, touring, I have touring goals. I got like, let's see, like international solo tour.
National. Where international?
Tour. Ooh.
Yeah, to pick a place.
If I had to pick a place, I think I just have a goal of like going to every little dive bar in the whole world or like every little coffee shop, but
Dive bar tour.
dive bar tour.
Oh,
I heard that there's a really big folk scene, I feel, in like these Nordic countries, like in Finland, and I don't know. I feel like that would be really fun, but I feel like I just have this travel bug right now. I just want to like shovel everyone I love into a car and just like go, you know? So I think I'd be kind of happy anywhere. But probably maybe places where there's like a love for that kind of folk music. I mean, London, I feel like I've fantasized about for a long time. I feel like they have a very interesting music scene there, and just like it feels very abundant and supported also by their government, which feels nice.
Yeah.
experience.
Wow. So you got like maybe a European tour in the works as an upcoming goal on that big
Oh
wall over there.
my word.
Any parting words as we wrap up our episode? Any biggest tip? I know you asked me a tip at the beginning of our chat. Any tips that you would recommend for artists that either want to like do not a 9 to 5 and want to just dive in deep like you, or
Yes, you said the hustle, right? It's all about the hustle.
yeah.
I would say this is kind of corny, but I really believe it with my whole heart, so it's not corny. Literally never too late to pursue what you want to pursue. Like Barbara Walters didn't have the view until she was older. Like,
Yeah.
you know, Paul Newman didn't have his first like starring like breakout. The Verdict was when he was like 60 years old. Like Oprah is a huge example. Like Brandi Carlile, like Sheryl Crow didn't release her first record till she was 30. Like there's so many examples of people who find success and later on in their life. And I think like if you have this dream, if you have this like gnawing feeling that there's something you want to be doing with your life, like I mean it's a privilege to say just do it, but you know, like I just would hate anybody to prevent themselves from doing anything because they think that they're too old or they think that their time has passed. And I think I didn't want to fully commit to my music career until I was like 22, 23, and most people were like, you're too old. Like I'm 27 right now. I have people telling me that I'm too old, and you know what? I just say,
Disagree. Yeah, no, I
I
totally
just
get
say,
that.
okay, yeah, you are never too old. And honestly, it probably gives you a better perspective as you're older because we never really fully learn ourselves, and
No.
life is a learning experience. And
Yeah.
yeah, I think that's what I would say, probably to my younger self
No,
too.
that's a really good tip. Yeah, be open-minded, but also plunge in deep. Take that initiative and don't be scared, I think is the biggest thing. And you've obviously have excelled at that tremendously, even showcasing in 2 days, T-minus 2 days at the Brooklyn Bowl. Congratulations just on everything that you've accomplished in this short span of time. It's
Thank you. Thank
quite
you.
miraculous, I would say.
Thank you so much. And thank you for reaching out to me. And yeah, I think the music scene in New York is amazing. And the fact that we were even able to, or I was even able to somehow appear on your radar feels pretty amazing to me. So yeah.
Yeah, so thank you, Rachel, for being on the podcast. Wishing you great success at your upcoming gig and looking forward to hearing more about the album coming out and all things about you, and that European tour for sure.
Thank you. Thank you. It's in the works. You'll be the first to know.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the Media Industry Guru podcast. Check out the Instagram at Media Industry Guru for all the details on the latest and coolest, I mean coolest, upcoming episodes that you will hear. Email at mediaindustrygurupodcast@gmail.com for any other interviews that you would like to hear, or if you would like to be on the air and give a little promo or talk about yourself or just even chat with me, because you know I'm doing this, I'm invested in this. And tune in weekly, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, on Tuesdays on the Anchor app, Spotify, Stitcher, Pocket Casts, Breaker, and many more streaming platforms. Thanks again for all of the support, and peace out, and let's rock and roll.